Happy Thursday, May 7th, 2020. May 7th. It's pretty chilly willy for May 7th out here on the East Coast, Philadelphia, New York, D.C. Yeah, that's why I'm, I woke up, fix this microphone, I woke up this morning, my wife said, the furnace, there's something wrong with the furnace, it's not, it seems to be not working right. And I said, the furnace, you know why it's not working right? Because you just had the air conditioner on, and now you pissed off the furnace. That's what happened. You can't run the air conditioner in the spring and then come back to the furnace. It doesn't work that way. You screwed up everything. Now you got the appliances upset at each other. Major appliances. Now I got the furnaces down and it's cold. That's why I said, now I got to dress like I'm on the fucking Deadliest Catch. I'm over here looking like the Gordon Fisherman trying to stay warm in the house. It's May 7th. We got a cold spell. And you had to run the air. Right? Guys, if you're out there, you've been with your lady for a while, your wife, and then middle age hits, you don't know what's going on when you're a guy. You could hang fucking meats in this house half the time. It's so cold in here. Even in the summer, it's like, what's going on? The only thing missing are those plastic things that hang down from the meat locker when you go in. Come in the house, it's like, what's going on in here? What's happening here? It's like 50 degrees. It's July. The electric bill looks like the fucking national debt clock. I'm in here dressed like Michael J. Fox with the vest on, right? Unbelievable. So right out of the gates, we got to start. We're doing a video podcast of this on patreon.com/truepunted. What's up, everybody out there watching on video? You get to see what I'm talking about. I'm in here. Yo, give me another load of crabs. Let's go. I'm out here fishing for king crabs. I'm dressed like I got the hat on and everything. It's you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? After I'm done with this, I'll be wrapped in a blanket like I'm at Woodstock. I said, we haven't used the fireplace in a while. And I said to one of my sons, hey, why don't you go and get some firewood? And they said, oh, it's May. What are you talking about? It's May. You can't have a fire in May. These kids, growing up tough, right? You're going to have a lot to talk to the therapist about. What was it like growing up? Was it hard? Yeah, we had to walk like 25 steps from the car, which was air conditioned, to the house, which was air conditioned. Brutal. Right? It made Moses' journey in the desert look like. Anyway, thanks to our supporters on Patreon, we appreciate it. A lot of stuff going on. We had some good stories today on True Pundit. That's where you can find our news. Some on Twitter causing trouble on a regular basis. Thomas1774Payne, True_Pundit. And here we go, off to the races. Another fun-filled pandemic news report. Dallas salon owner who reopened despite coronavirus restrictions gets 7 days in jail. Texas salon owner was given 7 days in jail on Tuesday after she refused to apologize for defying coronavirus-related restrictions by remaining open for business. Dallas, it would have to be a woman, right? It would have to be a woman who makes a stand. That's a statement on itself. Right? We're all the dudes out there, the tough guys that are hiding in their basements. Like, ooh, it's a woman who had to make a stand in Texas. I like that. Where are all these tough guys that were down in Virginia with the Second Amendment, they're walking around with their rifles and stuff. These guys are like curled up in the fetal position now in their basement, half naked in the corner, like little babies, bunch of tough guys. Texas, Dallas business owner Shelley Luther was given a choice. She could offer an apology for selfishness, pay a fine and shut down until Friday, or serve jail time. This is her. I have to disagree with you, sir, when you say that I'm selfish, because feeding my kids is not selfish. Goddamn right. That's my part. She didn't say that. She told the judge, I have hairstylists that are going hungry because they would rather feed their kids. So, sir, I think the law is more important than kids getting fed. If you think the law is more important than kids getting fed, then please go ahead with your decision, but I'm not going to shut the salon. After her refusal to show contrition, bailiffs led her away to be booked. Her sentence reportedly symbolizes the 7 days she stayed open despite county regulations. Who's this fucking judge? Luther had been cited by city officials but chose to ignore the warning. She must also now pay a $7,000 fine. Fuck the city! I like this woman. She's going to make out pretty well, I think. We're Americans out here. Where can I send this lady $10 or $15? I bet you she's already up on GoFundMe, and she should. Somebody should get something going. I mean, this is ridiculous. Not only that, it's a symbol, right? Somebody's got to stand up to these fucking assholes. And like I said, we're all the tough guys. I'm out here doing it every day. Where's everybody else? We need more women like this. And some men could learn some lessons, too. Bunch of half of sissies I'm dealing with on a regular basis. Anyway, tell us how you really feel, Mike. Headline, Cuomo gives people another reason to hate New York. He'll tax coronavirus volunteers. This guy, single. And the dope Chris Cuomo stole my line from 2 days ago. Somebody sent it to me and they said, Chris Cuomo's stealing your shit, man. I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, he spent a lot of time in the basement. I'm sure he can't come up with his own stuff. And he works for CNN. They steal stuff all the time when they don't make stuff up. I call Cuomo single and I want to mingle. That's an old James Brown line. Not too many people know about. So it's from a CNN interview James Brown gave when he was drunk with That's worth looking at on YouTube. He was out of control. Great interview. He said that about his brother today, to his brother in some kind of wacky interview they had. These guys think they have some kind of a comedy shtick going on now. You know, people are dying in New York, and the governor is doing stand-up routines on CNN with his dopey brother. This is what they're all about, FaceTime and propping up their social score on the cocktail circuit. Well, you suffer. You peasants and serfs, and we peasants and serfs suffer down here. If you're a healthcare worker who went to New York to volunteer to help fight the coronavirus outbreak there, Governor Andrew Cuomo says you owe New York State income taxes. Can you believe this guy? What, has he got to buy some new nipple rings? Look at the photos if you don't know what I'm talking about. From his press conference, he had the white polo shirt on. It's like, yo, dude. Welcome to the center stage, midnight showcase, the gov, the gov to the champagne room, please. I mean, who's this guy? Get your zipper mask and get your ass out of here. Psycho. Even if you were not working for any pay in New York, but you were still being paid in your home state, pay that enabled you to volunteer and put your own health in danger to help New York. He wants you to pay taxes. This fucking guy. don't help anybody in New York anymore. I know this is going to piss off guys like, I know, like Jason and and Charles and these guys. If you're stupid enough to be in New York and you haven't figured it out yet, I mean, I know people, I love the city. The city was a great place. I'm going to say it was a great place. And this is my home. Those are deeper issues, right? But this guy is a nightmare, Cuomo. I'm not even going to read any more of that because I'm just going to get more angry. This dope actually probably thinks he's going to run for president. Headline, Trump names terms for next coronavirus bill, says no bailing out poorly run states. Why is there a next coronavirus bill, President Trump and you other folks in D.C.? Why is there another coronavirus bill? Oh, I'll tell you why. One more shot to fleece the public. And then, poof, like a fucking magic show, the pandemic will be over. And we're $10 trillion in the hole. It's amazing how the only thing that really is curing this pandemic is your tax dollars. Forget the vaccine. Just give me another $10 trillion. President Trump on Tuesday laid out what he wants on the table for the next round of economic stimulus, calling for the elimination of sanctuary city policies as well as cuts to payroll and capital gains taxes, while arguing that the coronavirus must not be used to bail out poorly run states. What about poorly run companies and your buddy Mnuchin there, who's running a garage sale, giving up dollars to all his buddies while small businesses crumble? What about that? Democrats have called for $500 billion aid injection for state governments. What about us out here? You gotta give two shits about the state government? And possibly even more to localities in order to help with their responses to the coronavirus pandemic. Pelosi's on checking in, right? Pelosi said last week during a press call,
in terms of funding, we may have two packages, one for the states and one for locals. It looks like we're going to need $500 billion for the states, and we may need a big figure for counties and municipalities.
Well, I've got her thing queued up. What else did she say?
I eat very dark chocolate. You like dessert? Well, I like chocolate. I'm not indiscriminate. I don't consider anything that isn't chocolate dessert. Now, it could be like a nice fruit thing, and you consider it fruit, but not dessert.
Oh, I'm so with you.
Yes. Sometimes I like it as an hors d'oeuvre, chocolate hors d'oeuvre.
I like my chocolates and my ice cream. I don't even know what I'd do without my ice cream. I need $500 billion. Where are my chocolates?
It's so insane. It's insane. This woman is crazy. Remember American Psycho and Patrick Bateman? You're crazy. You're a fool. I don't even know. We had that queued up a couple of days ago, and I haven't used it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. It's important. He said it's important, however, to understand that many states have systemic, longstanding challenges, many of them in pension fund and many of them overspending, McConnell said. What we're seeing here is, we are not interested in rescuing badly run states from the mistakes that they've made that are completely unrelated to the coronavirus. So let me make it perfectly clear. We are open to considering another bill. He always says this and then he folds like a cheap suit. You know what I mean? They always give in to these guys because, look, it's one party down there. They pretend that they're against each other and they're all They're all fucking laughing at us. All of them. It's a game. I played it for a while. I just got tired of the... I don't really have a taste for the jugular anymore like these people do. These people are political animals because mostly they're sociopaths and psychopaths. So they don't see any problem with it. They think this is how you're supposed to behave. You know, Hannibal Lecter thought he was cool too. You know what's going on in D.C.? I talked to people in D.C. and some Congress members are literally like laughing on the phone during conference calls and things like that because they know that this is a potential disaster for the GOP and for Trump's reelection. So they're taking massive delight in the fact that they're ruining your fucking lives. This is how sick these fucking psychopaths are. They're on conference calls laughing, all this is going to be bad. There's no way he could recover from this. Wait till the stuff, right? And then as a result, they're going to try to slow down any reopening and throw more curveballs that they can to make sure that people suffer enough. Make sure that the state governors, like in New York and California and other places like the Democrats, even Tom Teen Wolf in Pennsylvania, the governor, that he screws this state up too. All to make Trump look bad. All to make sure that they win the House, keep the House, and win the Senate. They want to win the Senate so they can pass things like gun control and stuff like that and really take over. Well, they think they would take over. What they probably get is a fucking lead salad at the end of the day, but that's another story. Trump has expressed similar concerns and started to float ideas such as changes to sanctuary policies at the start of his wish list. Where are we at? I don't even think I have enough personal control to make it through this story without losing my fucking brain and my mind. We'll finish it up anyhow. What the hell? Toughen up more. Trump said last week, I don't even think they know they have a problem, but they have a big problem with it, the sanctuary city situation. We'd have to talk about a lot of different things, but we're certainly open to talking, but it would really have to be COVID-related, not related for mismanagement over a long period of time. On Tuesday, Trump also referenced lawsuit indemnification as a way of protecting businesses from being sued as they seek to reopen in months ahead. McConnell was previously called liability protections as a red line for Republicans in the coming negotiations. This is great. Can you imagine this? Could you imagine a bunch of weirdos in suits, bloated, whiskey up, half a liver weirdos, and whatever other prescription medications are on, showing up at your house and divvying up your bank account? That's what they're doing with your tax money, right? And deciding where it goes besides to you. And we're just sitting around saying, okay, whatever. I mean, at some point, guys, taxation without representation, negotiations. You just destroyed the American economy that was jamming. You leveled 40% of small businesses. They'll never come back. And you worried about fucking sanctuary city? The whole country's going to be a fucking sanctuary city. These guys are all lost in space. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't. Waking up in the fucking Twilight Zone. I don't know where I'm at. I don't get it. Negotiations with your money. I'm worrying about sanctuary cities and people who are not supposed to be here. What about the people that are here? Now, who pay? What about us? Headline. Wait a minute. It looks like. See, I know I say this a number of times, but I want to clarify. I don't read this stuff beforehand. So if it seems like I'm fumbling around, I like it. I actually like it that way because I get like just more natural. You know what I mean? You deal with it. It's not like you have anything else to do. Don't worry. There's people in your kitchen right now negotiating for your bank account. Total psychopaths where your money's going to go. At some point, you might have to show up with a fucking shovel and crack them upside the head like, what was that movie, Psycho? Would you like a sandwich, mother? Anyway, think big. Pelosi demands coronavirus relief wish list from Dems. Will forge ahead on a bill without Republican input. House Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi are forging ahead with plans for a fourth coronavirus relief package. Are you pissed off yet? This is goddamn real. The Democrats have decided to go it alone on the package. Wow, when have we seen that before? Obamacare? Wait. I thought there were two parties in D.C. Go it alone. What? How did Obamacare get passed if there's two parties? How do all these stimulus packages bills keep getting passed when there's two parties? The people you voted for, the GOP people, or the Democrats you voted for, we have a lot of Democrats listening to, right? Who don't like these bills getting passed either. This isn't just like a conservative thing. They're moderate Democrats saying, enough with the bills, enough with these packages, and we're not getting any money. How do they keep getting passed if everybody's, oh, yeah, well. Why are we voting for anybody at this point? Democrats have decided to go it alone on a package, drafting the measure without Republican input and without Republican consent, even though House Democrats have yet to officially return from April recess. But they're getting paid. Isn't that nice? You get to take time off. Well, you know what? Take a couple months off. This virus could be bad. Let me make some stock trades here based on the inside information I have. Make sure I can put a couple million in the bank while I'm away. I'm getting paid. Bing, bang, boom. Oh, this is going to be fucking great. Look at how much money I made. What? Put some policies in place to protect the public. I got to buy some Amazon stock. Who are you kidding? I got to sell some stock. This could be bad. I'm not going to lose any of my $120 million. Pelosi. We broke the story. Nobody else, the rest of the press was asleep. We broke the story on True Pundit. She buys 3,000 shares in late January and early February when she's having the coronavirus meetings and she knows it's going to be bad and she knows that the whole country is going to be shut down. Her and her husband buy 3,000 shares of Amazon at a strike price of $1,600 a share. Last time I looked, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the stock was $2,400 a share. That's $700 a share times 3,000. That's $2.1 million they put in their pockets in a couple months. You think they care about you? Yeah, right. Oh, wait a minute. We know what else we found out about?
I eat very dark. Very dark, very dark chocolate. You like dessert. Well, I like chocolate. I'm not indiscriminate. I don't consider anything that isn't chocolate dessert. Now, it could be like a nice fruit thing, and you consider it fruit, but not dessert.
Not dessert.
I'm so
it's not
with
dessert.
You.
Yes. Oh,
sometimes
so with
I like it as an hors d'oeuvre, chocolate hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
I eat very dark.
I mean, come on. She pockets. I need my chocolates and my thank you for the $2 million. Thank you for the extra $2 million. I have $120 million, but I need that extra $2 million. For Pelosi's part, she's reportedly including items from the March CARES Act 3 proposal, which sidelined that relief bill for days, as Senate Republicans and Democrats who previously agreed on a relief package argued over Pelosi's demands. See what they do? They're like, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. We'll let the Republicans, quote unquote, get their way, and then we'll circle back. We'll throw all this pork on the other end. Boom, we'll get what we want. They'll give us what we want. You know why? Because we already cut the deal. We cut the deal when everybody was watching to make the Republicans look good, to make it look like they're fighting for the little guy. And then when no one's watching, because everybody's either half in the bag, depressed, or ready to step off a building, we'll throw the pork on the back end. We still get what we want. Just had to wait a little bit. Just like I had to wait 2 months to make to cash in on my $2 million in Amazon stock. Just got to wait a little bit. Included there and potentially in the CARES 4 bill was a bailout of the United States Post Office and major handouts to state and local governments. The latter, at least, is expected to be a major point of contention between Democrats and Republicans in the next round of negotiations, particularly as states like Illinois seek bailouts for financial troubles that long predate coronavirus lockdowns. Yeah, Illinois wants us to bail out their pension problems, their public pension problems. They want billions, right? They want billions. We have to bail them out. That's what they're saying. Can you believe this? I know 5 people from fucking Illinois. 5 people. Now, you know, I gotta feed them too. At some point, guys, you have to think about why are we paying these people? I can't keep saying that. I'm planting seeds here. Start thinking about it. Taxation without representation. Sometimes the best word you can learn growing up is no. No. Oh, your payments due, like you're behind. No, I'm not paying. What do you mean? If you don't pay, there's gonna be no. Fuck you, not paying. Okay, if you don't pay, do something about it. Good luck. Headline. Does Cuomo even have the authority to slap $1,000 fines on people who disobeying his mask edict? Let me start over again because I started thinking about something. Does Cuomo even have the authority to slap $1,000 fines on people disobeying his mask edict? Governor Andrew Cuomo confused all of New York law enforcement on Saturday by ordering police to enforce his mask order. Anyone caught not socially distancing will be issued a $1,000 fine. This is bad news for Andrew Lloyd Webber. 2 shows a day, Phantom of the Opera. When he takes off his mask at the end, the guy's going to get popped $1,000. Cuomo is like on the loose. Everybody's got to wear a mask now, right? He thinks he's in... It's that movie with Tom Cruise, the Kubrick movie. You know what I'm talking about. He thinks he's in that. He's at the mansion, right? This guy Cuomo. He should, if he wants to improve his situation on Tinder and on Bumblefuck, whatever he's on. He's on the dating apps now. He should put the mask on his whole face. That would improve his chances, right? Guy's got some hard miles on his face. I don't know where this guy's been. He looks like a Magellan. Get some cream on that face. You know what I'm saying? You look like you've been hanging out on the fucking equator. This is why I don't read it beforehand, because I can't do this. It has to be boom, 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 boom. On Sunday, the New York Post reported that 51 citations had been issued in New York City for improper social distancing, but considering there's no law that tells us what social distancing is, the question remains, what authority did they do so? Commissioner Shea, this guy, this fucking NYPD mutt. Commissioner Shea, following another, these guys are besmirching the Irish Americans. They had Shea. The other dope they had in there was O'Neill, the Chrome Dome, right? This dopey Lex Luthor cop screwed up the NYPD so bad. Shea's off to a hell of a start, too. Commissioner Shea was quoted saying, in Parks, specifically yesterday, we issued 43 summonses. But Shea's office refused to tell PJ Media what code was placed on those citations or how they were written. Yeah, there's not even a law they're citing. But you know what they put on the ticket? Statute. New York statute number. Forget about it. Forget about it. You don't need to know. What law did I violate? I don't know, officer. Forget about it. A search of the governor's executive orders pulled up only one that mentioned social distancing, and it's not very specific. The order called New York State on pause. Yeah, I'd like to put fucking New York State on pause, right? Like a cartoon fucking saw. Saw that sucker out and let it float the bitch out to the sea. Pause it that way. Pause it about 45 miles to the east. Describes 10 guidelines put into practice on March 22nd that includes staying 6 feet away from people, but how law enforcement could fine people for not doing so is a mystery. Yeah, you know how you know when you stand too close to somebody in New York? Right? If the cops can tackle two people at once, that's probably too close. Like that thug that was walking around with the taser. The crazy guy, the crazy cop just cold cocking people. That's how you know if you violated the order. You got some guy coming at you, right? Like a 250-pound guy. It looks like he swallowed I'm going to stop there. The dude was at the gym, you know, scoring some, you know what. And he's like, ooh, let's get out there and crack some heads. Yeah. That's when you know you might be standing too close to somebody. When they let this guy out of the back. Spike. They let Spike out of the doghouse and he just rips you to shreds. And you're like, what happened? I'm like 160 pounds and this fool just mauled me because I was holding my girlfriend's hand. Unbelievable. If you see those videos, I mean, I talked about it. The street doesn't forget. There's going to be problems in the summer. The street never forgets. Non-essential gatherings of individuals. This is what the New York State on pause law says. New York State on pause. It should be spelled P-A-W-S with all those mutts milling around up there in the NYPD. Non-essential gatherings of individuals of any size for any reason. For example, parties, celebrations, or other social events are canceled or postponed at this time. Any concentration of individuals outside their homes must be limited to workers providing essential services. Social distancing should be practiced at least 6 feet from others. Yeah, make sure you spread all those people out 6 feet and get all their names too so we can tax these people who are trying to help other people up here. Yeah. Where are you from? Oh, you're from South Carolina. You're from Samaritan's Purse, South Carolina. Oh, yeah. You're with Billy Graham's group. Get all their names. We're taxing these goddamn Christians. Had a lot of nerve coming up to the city. A lot of nerve. Settle down, Pontius Pilate. Cuomo. Taxing people, trying to help out people in New York. That'll teach you. What's that saying? No good deed goes unpunished? You're not kidding. You'd be better off if you just showed up in the city and went to the bathroom in the street, defecated in the street. You don't get fined or taxed, but you go up to help somebody and you get taxed and tackled, right? By some thug with a taser. Unbelievable, this place. Which time are we at? 34. I'm going to stay on this story because it's particularly incensing. The legal problems with enforcing these types of orders are vast. No problem. The state will just $6 billion in debt. It'll just go more in debt with legal settlements. Chad Hummel of Hummel Law in Monroe County would love to get his hands on a social distancing violation case. The vagueness doctrine under the U.S. Constitution says, in American constitutional law, a statute is void for vagueness and unenforceable if it's too vague for the average citizen to understand, or if a term cannot be strictly defined, and it's not defined anywhere in such law, thus violating the vagueness doctrine. Hummel continued, if a statute can be tossed aside by a judge because it's vague, imagine what a judge would do to an executive order that was handed down at a press conference. We just saw that in Texas, Mr. Hummel. Judge put somebody in jail for opening up their business. Judges can do whatever the hell they want to do. Haven't you figured that out yet? Especially in New York. I like Mr. Hummel's spirit citing the Constitution, but you know, in New York, the Constitution is just a dish rag. Cuomo. Unbelievable. The governor has been extremely contradictory when talking about enforcement. When the mask order came down in April, Cuomo said on television he would not enforce it unless he didn't get broad compliance. What defines broad? He's trying to define some broads right now with his on his dating app. This guy. He announced, for people who aren't following, he announced 3-4 days ago he's single and he wants to mingle. He's like, he's a eligible bachelor now. I can't imagine why he got divorced, this guy. You know what I mean? That's his broad statement. Broad compliance. He wants some broad compliance, all right. In another statement, he said that lockdown is voluntary and that if 19 million people wanted to leave their homes, they couldn't be stopped. Yeah, you're finding that out every year. They're leaving their homes. They're leaving the state. They're going to other places. That's your legislative history that defines the intent of the order, said Hummel in my opening and closing argument. This guy is ready to go to war with Governor Nipplerings. In my opening and closing argument, I would play that clip. I would put the executive order up on a monitor, and then I would play the clip of the governor saying, I'm not going to enforce this order I just wrote. What's more vague than that? Hummel doesn't pull any punches when it comes to his opinion of Cuomo's latest overreach. Quote, he's a big talking buffoon. Yeah, well, I mean, Hummel must be, where's he from? Hummel's like, oh, he's from Monroe County in New York. He's a big talking buffoon. Let me give you a little Philly translation. This guy's a fucking asshole. And worse. I guess you can't say that in what publication? I think this is from PJ Media. You can't say that. I'd say it. But where are we at? Doing good here. New headline. The world lockdown may be the greatest mistake in history. I think very few people at this point with a brain would argue about that, especially your personal history, right? We haven't even seen how this is going to reverberate on a mass scale, but your own personal history, it has to be pretty damn bad. I can't believe. And like I said, these people in D.C. are all about it, especially some of the folks who want to do Trump in. They're literally like, they think it's great. They're on conference calls. They're like, hee hee. These are some sick people, man. These are some sick people. These aren't regular people. And what I mean regular people is they don't feel empathy. They don't feel sympathy. They're mentally ill. And I've worked with a lot of these people, and they're fucked up beyond hope. Like I used to say to my wife, I don't want to end up like these people. No money is worth ending up like these people. First of all, because no money is ever good enough. They never have enough money. the way they behave, the way they think, the things they say are literally scary. They're scary people. The forcible prevention of Americans from doing anything except what politicians deem essential has led to the worst economy in American history since the Great Depression of the 1930s. It's panic and hysteria, not the coronavirus, that created this catastrophe. And the consequences in much of the world will be horrible, even more than in America. Oh boy, here we go. United Nations World Food Program states that by the end of the year, more than 260 million people will face starvation, double last year's figures. Now, I talked about this, and I don't even have the social cash of the United Nations World Food Program. I just have Thomas Paine's brain program. And when GDP, let me take a drink, I'm sorry. It's so cold in this house, right? I feel like I'm on Ice Road Truckers. I'm on Ice Road Truckers, the house arrest version. I don't know what's going on. This weather is crazy. That's fine with me. If the heater's not working and the air's not on, I'm okay with that. It's like takes me back to my childhood. And my kids look at some of the pictures from my childhood and they're like, because we didn't have that many pictures. And they're like, wait, you guys must have played outside a lot. You and your brother and your sister, you guys must have been playing outside a lot. You always have your coats on like you're just stopping in for a soda pop and your hats and gloves. I said, nah, we had to wear that in the house. That was the house. We had the heat set at like 58 because my mom couldn't afford the heat. So she said, oh, you're cold? Are you cold? Huh? Put a hat on. Put a coat on. The kids are like, oh, you guys are always wearing hats and coats. What's going on? These kids today. but when the GDP suffers, and especially when it tanks in certain countries, there's always the byproduct is there's hunger, there's depression, there's suicide, there's despair. And so I don't know if it looks, I'm reading ahead now, it looks like this is going to get kind of into that, but I've said it previously, if you've been following me and been on here in the dailies and the weekly shows we do and stuff like that, you can't stop this. This has nothing to do with America. Ooh, America. We're not different, right? GDP and the human condition and the human race, these are things. We're not special. We all have to weather these things. And so the byproduct of this shutdown and the government actually thinking that they have the wherewithal. These guys can't send a fucking $1,200 check to the right people. And they're going to save your life from a pandemic? Is this for real? Seriously. This is how fucked up these guys are when I say that they're messed up people. They actually think that they could save you from a pandemic. If it even was a real pandemic, they're going to save you. Oh, we're going to save you. Yeah, right. When have they ever given a shit about middle America and poor people? And people on, above, or near the poverty line. I grew up on it. They didn't give a shit about me. And I, they only give a shit about them. And they're not middle America. And they're not on the poverty line. So you have to take a step back and say, come on, are these people for real? They're going to help us? Oh, they're here to help us. They're closing everything down. We're gonna be saved. It's a fucking miracle. The byproduct is going to be much worse than the quote-unquote cure. It's world history. It's not rocket science. Other parts of the world, research it. What happens in poor countries? It's devastating. Let's see here. More than 260 million people will face starvation, double last year's figures, according to the World Food Program Director David Beasley on April 21st. We could be looking at famine in about three dozen countries. There's also a real danger that more people could potentially die from the economic impact of COVID-19 than from the virus itself. That's all I'm saying. Now they talk about GDP, which is what I've been talking about for a long time on here. If global GDP declines by 5%, another 147 million people could be plunged into extreme poverty, according to the International Food Policy Research Institute. We're going to save all these people. Oh, we're going to save 2 million people are going to die. We're going to save you. Don't worry. 147 million people are going to die if global GDP declines by 5%. We're headed there, right? So how many people are going to die on the back end? According to International Monetary Fund, global economy will shrink by 33% in 2020, marking the biggest downturn since the Great Depression. And the U.S., the Eurozone, and Japan will contract by 5.9%. That's that's the U.S., Europe by 7.5%, and Japan by 5.2%. Okay, so you're going to see big problems, obviously. Meanwhile, across South Asia, as a month ago, tens of millions were already struggling to put food on the table. Again, all because of the lockdowns, not the virus. You can make an argument that they're trying to create despair. And I think this is where that's headed. I don't like to jump right out of the gate and throw all this stuff at people at once. I think people will understand where this is headed as time goes on. And it's going to be hard for a lot of politicians to wiggle out of this. This includes the White House, who put those three dopes in charge, Birx, Fauci, and Redfield. It's unforgivable that these dummies were running the show. And the massive coordination on a global level with all the governments, something nefarious is at play. It's obvious. And, you hate to think that because it plays to your worst fears. But as time goes on, it hasn't been kind yet, and it's still relatively still quick or short term. And in the long term, it's going to be even less kind to the folks saying we're trying to save you. It's not going to sell when there's all these problems globally and especially in the United States. It's sad, really, that we got played like this, and we are getting played. And the lockdowns. there's a number of smart, really bright people who are coming down on this now with what I'm saying, coming down on this side, and not on the other side of, well, they were going to save us. So what the hell matter what side you come down on when you can't buy food, get food, don't have money to pay food, don't have money to pay rent, to pay mortgage, pay health expenses that the government jacked up, never addressed. GOP Congress had years, and GOP House had years to address the healthcare situation, the staggering costs of Obamacare to poor and middle-class families, us down here, right? The people that they're going to save. They fucking punted. They'll say, John McCain ruined that. Come on. It's all set up before it even happens. They didn't want to change it around because it screwed up with big pharma, big insurance, who kicks a lot of money to these people. Insurance companies love it. They are making money hand over fist. Don't kid yourself. They used to get $400 for an individual policy. Now it's $850 overnight. Oh, really? What? And the care and the level of insurance is piss poor. You don't think they wanted to keep it that way? Come on, grow up. Says something with John McCain and the whole drama. Oh, he has the deciding vote. That's all set up before they even get on the little stage up there and they take their votes and they pretend like there's outrage. Oh, my God, I can't believe. Oh, yeah, okay. They're not even good at acting. They're not even good actors. It's ridiculous, right? Okay, so back to this. In one particularly incomprehensible act, the government of India, a poor country of 1.3 billion people, locked down its people. As Quartz India reported on April 22nd, coronavirus has killed around 700 Indians, a small number, still compared to 450,000 TB and 10,000 odd malaria deaths recorded every year. Think about that. 700 people died in India. That's like a joke, right? Somebody sneezes and 700 people die in India. Compared to 450,000 tuberculosis and 10,000 odd malaria deaths recorded every year. An example of how disinterested the left is in worldwide suffering is made abundantly clear in a front-page prayer by the left-wing Christian in the current issue of The Nation. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. Merely inconvenienced? Is how Reverend Dr. William Barber, a Protestant minister and president of the North Carolina NAACP, describes the tens of millions of Americans rendered destitute, not to mention the hundreds of millions around the world rendered not only penniless, but hungry. Michael Levitt, the professor of structural biology at Stanford Medical School. Yeah, this is the guy who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. This guy is like, we talked about him on here. This guy is no dummy. Recently stated, there's no doubt in my mind that when we come to look back on this, the damage done by the lockdown will exceed any saving of lives by a huge factor. To the left, anyone who questions the lockdown is driven by preference for money over lives. Typical of the left's moral shallowness is this headline on Salon this week. It's time to reject the gods of commerce. America is a society and not an economy. With the subhead reading, America is about people, not profit margins. Yes, Soylent and Green was about people too. Soylent Green is people! That's what I feel like when I'm reading this stuff. And who... I want to find out where this is from because I just want to make a point. I don't know where this is from, but the stories are all on True Pundit under the headline of Pain in the Morning, right? Wait a minute. I don't know where this is from, but when it always mentions the left is doing it. It's not, and then they read... they cite like Salon or The Nation and things like that. It's not necessarily representative of the left, what the left thinks, and the same goes for the right. It's just what these communist reporters think and what the communist reporters, and that they are communists. I work with them. These people are fucking crazy. Just because they spin something and people of a certain political party seem to favor that publication doesn't necessarily mean that that viewpoint is shared by the readers. I think in many situations, it's the exact opposite, or the opposite, right? So when I read stuff like this, it can be very, the left is every left is a problem. The left, the media is often the problem. The reporters, the way the reporters see the thing through their communist prism. And they write this stuff and then people read it and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, he makes a good point. No, they don't make good points. A lot of times they don't make any sense. So I think it's important not to label how one political party thinks versus another political party thinks. I think common sense Americans can agree that this is all bullshit. And there's a lot of common ground here. And I've said it before, we need to kind of shed these political labels and these corrals that DC puts us in so we try to kill each other and claw each other's eyes out. That's called divide and conquer technique. We shouldn't be fighting each other. We should be fighting these assholes and focusing on them and uniting to beat these guys at their own game. 1776 style. It might actually come down to 1776 style at the rate we're going. But that's it for today. We're at 56 minutes. We had some fun. We talked some news. And I hope you learned something. We'll have some more stuff coming on True Pundit this week. And again, shout out to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit. That are supporting us, and we're having some good chats on there. On the Pain in the Morning threads every day, and I'm learning some good stuff and getting some good tips. There's a lot of bright people out there. That's why I said, you know, we need to stop with this. Oh, he's on this side, and he's bad, and he's... There's good people everywhere. There's good people everywhere, right? Just because you might have some differences, you'd be surprised how much common ground there is, especially when things get tough. Are you telling me that if you rolled up on a car that was on fire, you would check the bumper sticker before you try to pull anybody out of it? No. Nobody in their right fucking mind would do that. There's good people everywhere. And we need to get away from this political vaccination that DC gives us all the time to try to keep us at each other's throats. So you start thinking about that. Start thinking about that. There's a bigger picture at play here. And we need to get outside of the box. They want us in this little tight little box where they can keep a nice little lock on us and stuff. We need to step outside of the box. The box isn't working for us, guys. Look where we're at, okay? Living now is outside of that box, whether it's philosophical or physical now, too. Literally or figuratively, you're in your house, you're in your own box. That's where they want you. We need to break out of the philosophical box, step outside the box, think outside the box, and get the hell out of the box that we're stuck in. I appreciate you guys. I hope you're learning some stuff here, and thanks for all the support. We'll see you again tomorrow. Pain in the Morning on Friday. God bless you. Take care. Hang in there. Be tough. Don't quit.